What's up, my friends? It's Rick Mulready here. Listen, if you are feeling like you're struggling to keep up with all the AI opportunities, or maybe you're wondering how to even start leveraging AI in your business without all the headaches, the AIify newsletter is designed with you in mind, my friend. Every week, I simplify AI for you, showing you how to apply it and integrate it into your business so that you can work less and profit more. As one of my readers put it, it's a must-have for any entrepreneur who wants to get more done in less time. And they said there's a lot of noise out there and your information is up to date, yet just feels more calm and more relatable. So I want to invite you to sign up for the AIify newsletter. It's free. Just go to rickmulready.com/newsletter. That's rickmulready.com/newsletter. Hey, my friends, my name is Rick Mulready, and I'm an online business coach. I'm an ads expert, and I'm all about helping online course creators and coaches make more money in their business while working fewer hours. But most importantly, I'm a father and I'm a husband. With this podcast, you're going to learn exactly how to become what we here call the optimized CEO of your business. And that means you are optimizing your sales and marketing, your time, and your mindset so that you can have more freedom, a bigger impact, and make more money. So grab a coffee, open up your favorite notes app. This is the Art of Online Business podcast. What's up, my friends? Rick Mulready here, and welcome back to the podcast. This is episode number 516 here of the show. As always, thank you so much for coming to hang out with me today. I super appreciate you, and hope all's going well, whatever you're up to right now. Today on the episode, we're going to be talking all about community building. And joining me to share their expertise is Anna Hetzel. Anna is an expert in community and building a community the right way. And also, Anna is a conversion copywriter. And we talk how that sort of blends together here in this episode with Anna. And my goal here with my interview with Anna is to not only share how to build a community the right way and the things that you really want to be thinking about if you are considering building a community, or maybe you already have one, I want to share with you and have Anna share with you the things that can be helping you really improve the quality of your community. And I really want to challenge you in the way that you think about creating a community in your business. I know that as I've gotten to know Anna, they have really challenged me in how I think about community. And so that's exactly why I wanted to have them come on the podcast here and share with you their brilliance and expertise in building a community. And so we're going to dive into all that here in just a second. Before we do, I put together a quiz for you. So if you go over to my website, rickmulready.com/quiz, I put together a quiz for you that is going to help you uncover those invisible roadblocks in your business that are very likely tripping you up and keeping you from gaining the traction and the momentum that you really want and need in order to grow your online course business or your online coaching business. Okay. What I love about this quiz that we put together is through these series of questions, I think they're like, this is going to take you like 47 seconds to do the quiz. And of all the people that have taken the quiz, they've said, man, this is like, you've identified this so well for me. And also at the end of the quiz, I give you an action plan. Okay. So three specific steps that based on what those roadblocks that you're experiencing in your business, three specific steps that you need to do right now in order to create that sustainable, consistent revenue and really build a business that has bigger impact while you can work less in the process of doing that. So I'd love to go have you take the quiz. Again, I have a PDF for you at the end of the quiz that takes you through what your results mean and then what you can do to break through those roadblocks. Okay, so just go over to rickmulready.com/quiz. All right, my friends, without further ado, let's go hang out with Anna Hetzel. Anna, welcome to the podcast. How you doing?
I am doing fantastic. How are you doing today?
I'm organized here. I was right before we get going with I hit record. I was completely a mess here in my desk. So my camera wasn't working. I have this DSLR camera that's set up, and I'm so not a techie person. The thing was falling down behind my monitor. I was trying to fix it. It's now resting on my monitor. Then I realized that my microphone wasn't plugged in. Here we are. We're finally rolling. This is the real behind the scenes of a business. So,
you know what? And it worked. We both got to settle into the conversation.
Yeah, totally. Exactly. And you shared some interesting bits that I didn't like on like different perspective on apologizing and instead of apologizing, saying thank you for your patience. I like that. Cool. So even before we hit record, I was being educated, which is always good.
I'm pretty good at dropping nonsense tidbits into conversations.
No, I love it. I love it. So before we get into community building and talking about what it means to build a community, what actually is a community and what it's not, I know that you and I have had that discussion before. Why don't you share with everybody listening right now who you are and what exactly it is that you do?
For sure. So I'm Anna Hetzel. I use they, them pronouns. I'm based out of Ohio, the wonderful Midwest, and I am the founder of Strange Birds. So it's just me right now and my bookkeeper and my VA. But what I focus on is conversion copywriting, specifically website strategy and copywriting. And I also do community design. So how to design, facilitate, and maintain an intentional and really supportive and profitable community for your online business. Memberships, courses, masterminds, live courses, group coaching programs, all of that. You know, that tier of the Ascension model that everybody's salivating over right now.
What's the connection between copywriting and community building? Or is there?
That is a great question. So that's actually a question that I've been struggling with. So I'm currently, as we record this, doing a massive rebrand to really lean into my company name of Strange Birds, because it solved that question for me. I was trying to figure out how to connect those two as Anna Hetzel. And I was like, yes, I can't do it. And I needed the big overarching metaphor. But going back to your original question, how do those connect? I've always approached copywriting not as a way to close the sale, but as a way to build a relationship. And what is community building other than building a relationship? If copywriting does its job and it builds that relationship, the sale will happen. If community does its job, it builds the relationship, the sale continues. And so it's really, really connected in my mind. A great community is only as good as the amount of people that you can attract into it and the culture that it's developed. And that requires both copywriting and community design. That's the best I've ever explained that.
I was just like, wow, I'm going to take a note of that this many minutes in, because that's a great sound clip right there.
I'm so glad this is recording. I'm just going to like steal that from my website.
I will send this to you afterwards. So what does it mean? Like when you say yes, community building and conversion copywriting, they're designed to do the same things, but, and I know that we're going to get into this, but I still have a hard time sort of connecting the two things in a way that, okay, good conversion copywriting can lead to great community building.
Yeah. So if we're asking about the structure of my business, those are treated pretty in pretty different silos. So
yeah, website copywriting.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. So how they're connected, like philosophically.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, cool. Because I'm thinking like, because most people think of the two as completely different, but I love the perspective that they're actually quite linked together. And I'd love to kind of dive into that for a second.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm not going to take credit for this idea. There's a great book that if you're interested in facilitating or hosting a space, The Art of Gathering by Priya, we'll put it in the show notes, whatever her last name is. I can't remember. I'm so bad with names. But something that really stuck with me out of that book is she talks about how to host a space. And the first thing that she says is the space, your community begins as soon as the idea is dropped, as soon as the invitation goes out. So if you think about it, think about the last time someone invited you to a Zoom coffee, or if you are fully vaccinated and out in the world, going out to drinks or going over to a friend's house. As soon as that invitation happens, you start picturing yourself in that space and imagining how you're going to be showing up and like basically building an avatar of yourself. The more that we can do that through copywriting, the more fully someone will show up in a community because they've started building their identity before they even join the space. So copywriting can set up those expectations, can set up that idea of the person's self, can start building that culture. So when someone walks through your doors, they're already there. They're 100%. They're ready to dive in. They don't show up and go, I'm not quite sure what I signed up for, or I'm not really sure what I'm doing in this space, right? They already have all of that built in their head.
Gotcha. Okay. All right. So I think that's a good time. Completely makes sense now. And I think it's a good time to let's define what community means to you. Because when we talked previously, I shared what I feel like community is in the online space. And you were like, not so much. So in your view, what is a community?
Is it okay if I swing that question back to you in a slightly different way?
Sure. I love it.
Little tables turn. So when you, regardless of the online space or not, the word community in general, when you hear the word community, what do you think and feel? Specifically feel?
I don't know. The first word that came to mind was like warm. I feel like there's an energy behind it of caring. Mm-hmm. And people sort of gathered around a similar cause, if you will. So the complex that we live in here is a community. And I would say that the common bond between all of us, besides where we physically live near each other, is like, I would say 85 to 90% of the people in here have families, meaning like young kids, similar to Maya, maybe a little bit older. So we've got a community here.
Yeah. So quick activity for the listeners. Take a moment and think about how you would define community, especially how it makes you feel. And I think if we pause and answer that question, we'll immediately recognize that how we use the word community in the online business world doesn't quite align with how we actually feel about community, right? Mm. Your email list is not a community. Your social media audience is not a community. They're platforms. They're a way to disseminate information. They're a way to communicate with people, but it's a triangle shape, right? It's you telling something and people reacting to it. There's not really a circle shape where the content is there, it exists, but people are engaging with it together. That's why the space of maybe a Facebook group is a lot different, because it's multiple interactions and multiple people showing up. Not one person saying this is a thing and then everybody reacting to it. So I always like to kind of flip that question of like, how does it make you feel? Mm-hmm. Because it immediately changes the conversation. And that's kind of my mission is to rethink and give community the space that it really deserves, because it means so much to us. I think especially during, and because the pandemic is not over, we all got front row seats on how absolutely important the word community is, and making sure that we translate that and honor it in the online business space is my mission in life.
And I love that, because you're absolutely right. Like it's, we saw it firsthand about the need for belonging and wanting to be around other people, especially after a year and a half, when not being able to do that, you know. And it kind of thinks, I don't know if this is a similar thing, but like my daughter just started, at the time of recording this, she just started preschool last week, and she's having a really hard time adjusting. She's 2.5. She's really, really hard time adjusting. And there's the obvious things about like, she hasn't been around other kids basically for a year and a half since she was one, essentially, when she was super, super young. Not that she's not super young now, but like now she's around a group of other kids at her preschool. And the preschool in and of itself, I look at as a community, because they all have shared values and all that stuff. And so it's, yeah, that's been missing for her as well, and sort of like a different level. You mentioned Facebook groups. I think that was one thing I brought up last time we talked. Is a Facebook group a community? So let's just say we have a Facebook group. Let's just say we got 20,000 people in the Facebook group. Is that a community or not? By your definition, how you look at it?
I mean, for sure, it's a group of people coming together with a shared interest for mutual success, right? I think the mutual success is the key part there. If you and I were in a community together, we would be rooting for each other. We'd be lifting each other up. We would support each other when you know, stuff goes haywire. We'd be celebrating each other's wins. I think that absolutely happens in Facebook groups. Mm-hmm. The problem that I have with Facebook as a platform for community building is that as soon as you get on the platform, you have 5,000 notifications of all the other groups that you're in.
Yeah.
And so it's just a question of focus. And I think that's where things get a little bit lost. And it's more easy for that space to become a lot more transactional. So think of the Facebook groups that you're a part of that you go and you ask a question, you get the answer and you bounce.
Yeah.
Which is how a lot of us use those spaces.
Sure.
There's nothing wrong with that. But if you're looking to create something that is really self-generative, open, supportive, intentional, creating that type of culture tends to be a little bit harder on Facebook groups because mm-hmm. we're distracted with literally everything else that's happening on there.
Yeah. And as an admin or facilitator, if you will, of a Facebook group, once it gets pretty large, it's harder, like not all of our posts don't even get seen by most people, which I know is a huge frustration for a lot of people.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I want to kind of, now that we've kind of defined, well, are we done defining? I guess I'll throw it back to you now. Are we done defining what a community is and is not?
I think so. I think the important thing is define what you think a community is and then go build it. So mm-hmm. so take that first moment of like, okay, what do I think and feel about community? And then how can I go build it? And really think about the style of community that you want to build. If you're out to build it to get that next level on your ascension model, right? Why are you doing that? Who is it for? How does that really truly support them? And not just another way to make money in your business, but a way to like really truly serve the transformation of the people that are there. So creating all of that intentionality.
All right, we've decided that we want to do that in our business. We've answered those two questions. We are not going to do a Facebook group.
I'm not saying don't do a Facebook group.
No,
I'm just saying like be mindful that there is most people are on Facebook and there is this other balance of it is harder to keep people focused. So there's a, you know, kind of a potato potato depending on what your goals are there.
Yeah. And I'm not saying like, oh, Anna saying don't do a Facebook group. I've actually been thinking about this a lot lately because, you know, especially with all the stuff that's gone on with the various platforms over the past year and a half, right? Like if we have a massive Facebook group and we're relying on that group to really, you know, as a major source of revenue for the business, let's just say, I feel like that, I think that's very, very dangerous because what if Facebook like changes the algorithm completely for groups again, or does away with groups? I mean, I don't think they would, but like, what if they, you know, like it's there. We've built our community, if you will, on their platform. And so I'm trying to look at all the different ways to bring the ownership back to, so like I control it. I don't mean like that in a like, ooh, I control it. Just being like just so that don't build something like that on another platform where that can just go, Facebook isn't going anywhere, but do you know what I mean? Like where anything that changes on their end can affect directly what I've created, what I've built.
So can I ask a question for that?
Sure.
Are you, when you're saying build, like own it, are you saying choose something like Slack or build a totally custom thing?
I'm not saying build a completely custom thing, but with like, for example, the new course platform and funnel software that I'm using, for example, which I can do all like order forms, affiliate center, et cetera, in there. They have what they call social walls. It looks like a Facebook group in there. But yes, I would be building it within that platform, but I feel, but everybody sees the posts, and to your point, Anna, it's less distracting, right? Because they're in that one page, if you will, or multiple pages within that platform. And so I just feel like I have more control over the experience and not putting all, I don't know, because the argument could be made like, well, Rick, you're building the community in a different platform. It's still on another platform, right? And so I don't know. I just don't like putting all the eggs in one basket. And granted, I have Facebook groups I like, and I love them. But again, I'm looking at different ways to like bring back the ownership to me and not be so reliant on other things that are so very fluid and can change quickly.
Yeah, I think when the root of this is kind of choosing what platform to build your thing on. Yeah. And so there's a ton out there. There's the course software and platform that you use. There's mm-hmm. things like Slack, there's Circle, there's Mighty Networks, there's, I mean, a bajillion types. I actually don't help people choose the platform that they want to be on mm-hmm. because the thing that I tend to be like, I'm just going to ask you questions and then empower you to answer them. I'm that annoying person, but
so you're one of those coaches.
No, I'm one kidding. Of those, but it's really first deciding what the heck you're doing inside your community. So not just opening up the space and then hoping for the best that people will post stuff and people will respond. It's creating programming. So programming is expected interactions. And that can be things like monthly themes, weekly prompts, monthly discussions, Q&As, lives that happen regularly. So people know and expect this is what's happening. And then you can, as the facilitator, step back and trust that the members will fill in the gaps. Because as a facilitator, I think where most burnout happens is trying to do everything all the time and making sure that there is not one second where people just aren't talking to each other. Like, it's okay. Silence is okay. Silence is actually a gift. Mm. Obviously, too much silence is not good. But if there's a pause, that's okay. But deciding the style and type of programming that you want to have, and then go finding a platform that supports it. Mm. So if you really want to do lives, Facebook might be the best option for you mm-hmm. because they have a really great live structure. Sure. If you really want to do like a cohort style, so group coaching, Mighty Networks might be a really good choice. Circle has a lot of features that offer really great things for like maybe focused accountability sprints, right? All of these things really depend on what you're actually offering. And then go doing the research and figuring out, okay, do these features do mostly what I want it to do? I'm going to build here because I'm not going to have to smush whatever platform I choose into what I want to build. The platform is there waiting for me. So it's kind of like finding the right fit.
Yeah. I love that because you're defining what you want to do first, because most people are like, oh, I want to go, you know, I want to, let's go use this platform and figure out what I can do from there. You know, it kind of brings up, it's so weird to me when I've heard this so many times, and it's just a little bit of a tangent right now, but what you just said on and just kind of brought up the whole thought of, I hear from a lot of accelerator students actually, I haven't heard this in a while, but they say that like, I don't want to create something larger because if I do, I have to go up to the next price point in Kajabi or something like that. And I was like, wait a minute, right? You're like holding back the impact that you really want to have because you would go into the next pricing tier. Like something's broken there in that, not only the platform, but like just how we're thinking about that. And then the other thing that comes up for me too is like you mentioned these other platforms like Circle and Mighty Networks. I think I've seen Circle before. I think I saw it like once and I was super impressed with just like how it looked. And what I like about these different platforms, I use 10xpro.io in our business. And what I like about these other platforms that a lot of people, frankly, haven't quite heard of yet is it goes back to what you said, Anna, is that it almost removes that distraction of all the other things, because you said like Facebook groups, I don't know how many hundreds of millions of groups there are, but like you subscribe to all these groups, for example, in the group that if I'm creating a group, I want people focused in my group, in my community. And it's really hard to do that when there's a whole bunch of other distractions, right?
And especially if it's a paid community, because if they're not focused in your group, the next time that they get charged for your monthly membership, they'll go, "What? I don't remember. I didn't remember I was a part of this." Mm-hmm. And even if it's only $27, that's enough for someone to be like, "I'm out," right?
Yeah.
Giving them a space where they, like, this is an intentional choice and it's worth going there. And when you go there, you get the stuff done and you connect with people, right? That creates that sense of, I don't know if loyalty isn't the right word, because honestly, churn happens in community. And think of it this way. If you have a best friend that you've had since you were a baby, you're super rare in the world, right? Communities expand and contract, go away, rebuild. They are organic things. And so churn is inevitable when you build an online community. It's never going to be perfect. Mm-hmm. However, if you have massive churn, there's things that you really need to think about where you're not creating that space that gets people really excited to go in and really engage. And the less distraction and the more focus and intentionality that someone has, the better. So it's the difference between going to a dance party with your friends where you're just like bumping into a bunch of random bodies that maybe you didn't actually really want to like rub elbows with that night, versus going over to your friends and like having a really chill board game night with like a set group of people that you're really excited about. It might not have been the best analogy, but you want to create that intimate board game night feel. I really love board games. So create that intimate board game night feel regardless of the size of your community. And that really comes down to how you structure it, the programming, the onboarding is really important, and especially where they go hang out.
Yeah. And everybody listening right now, please don't take this as either one of us are saying don't do Facebook groups. I'm not saying that at all, because maybe it is the best solution for you. You know, as far as the ease of starting something, that is going to be super easy to start. I think what I really want you to get out of what this part of the discussion that we're having is that exactly what Anna's saying here is like if you want to create a community, the less distractions, the better, if that is what aligns with the goal of creating that community. And that could be on Facebook, that could be on other platforms. And Anna just mentioned a few of those there. Now, you mentioned something there. Sorry, you want to add to that?
I do. And I kind of want to go back to your accelerator students mm-hmm. who were like, "Well, I don't want to go up to this next tier."
Yeah.
While we're on the subject of platforms, and maybe we can put it to bed and move on after this. But when you're choosing a space to build your membership or your mastermind or your group coaching or course or whatever on, do the work and sit down, do the uncomfortable work of dreaming past 2 months and dream to 5 years in the future. If 5 years in the future, this is going splendidly, can this platform hold that? Because let me tell you, switching platforms is really, 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 really hard. So take a moment and really think, can this contain the awesomeness that I'm building? And if not, switch. Because if you do that work, the next pricing tier of whatever platform is not going to be a problem, because you know that it won't matter in 2 more seconds because you'll have 1,000 more members, whatever.
Yeah, that's a great call.
Really think past the 2 months, because community is a long game.
Yeah, I love that. You mentioned onboarding. You mentioned churn. Let's start with onboarding. What I want to clearly define that we're talking about here is where does community, let's just say someone's a course creator, or they have a coaching program, let's just say, or they have both, or a membership. Where does the community fit into all of those different options? I think a membership is easier to clearly define because, you know, people are coming in. I think the community aspect of a membership allows us to continue to nurture that value to continue to prove and show the people that are in there that this is a place they want to continue to be a part of. And so that's one aspect of that keeps them that allows them to stay. So with that said, courses, coaching program, even we'll talk membership, where does the community fit into these options?
I'm biased, obviously, but I would argue they're the reason people sign up, whether they know it or not. So
to any of those?
Let me flesh out this argument. Yeah. So yes, there are going to be certain people that join to learn a thing, get it, get out. Great. Those might not be your ideal people because that's either a one-time sale. It's not going to be a long lifetime value and they're not actually adding anything to the space. And you're going to, as the leader, going to have to do a lot more work. Like the silences we talked about before, you're going to have to do a heck of a lot more work to make your space not a ghost town full of crickets. Right. So when you think about courses and group coaching programs and memberships, this is non-scientific numbers, but we can, through just reading or watching or listening content, we can reach somewhere between 20 to 80% mastery of a thing, right? Like I read the thing, I watched the thing, I listened to the thing, like, yeah, I get it. But to get from like the 80 to 90% mastery, where they're like basically amazing at it, it's integrated into their lives, they're using it, they're implementing it, they're excited about it, they're maybe teaching it to others, that happens with other people. Very rarely does that happen alone. It happens with asking people how they're doing it, asking for, hey, I'm struggling on this one thing, how did you implement it? Someone give me a high five. I did this thing and succeeded and now I'm moving on, right? All of that happens with other people. And that makes people stay. That makes people actually finish whatever course that you have created, which course completion rates are like
super low,
ridiculously low.
Yeah.
If you have a really strong online community and support helping people through your courses, that conversation all of a sudden starts to shift.
Yeah.
And the reason why, if you want to talk the business reason why that's important, again, it helps with churn, but it also has then created, instead of 50 people that went through your course or didn't, and they're like, cool, I bought the thing and whatever, you now have 50 people that are screaming about how awesome you are, and your marketing is a lot easier because you have 50 people who are evangelizing how great your work is. And if it's a membership and they stay around, they just have like lifetime access or it's a monthly thing. Mm-hmm. You have then created 50 coaches, so you don't have to do all of the teaching because they have been taught your process, your framework, your personal style of approaching a problem. So you don't have to be the end all be all answerer. Not a word. I don't really. But so it creates a cycle, and that's what keeps people excited and staying around.
I love that. And how do we create that? How do we create that culture? Because not only have I experienced that, I the way I look at for myself in community building, now I'm looking at it more so from a Facebook group community aspect. I don't think I do a very good job of creating community, right? Now, with that said, a question I get all the time, especially from my accelerator students, is like, how do we create that kind of culture in a community, whether it's Facebook group or whatever, such that other people are chiming in, like you just said, like 50 other coaches? How do we really create that culture and encourage ongoing participation?
This is a multi-part complicated answer. So step one would be to think about your role. A lot of people who are creating online communities, I'm assuming a lot of people in your accelerator program, are solopreneurs, service providers, people who do one-to-one client work who are then like, okay, I'm ready to do like a one-to-many, ready to create this next tier. How your role between the one-to-one client work and all of a sudden becoming a facilitator is wildly different. And it takes a lot of practice and a different mindset where if it's one-to-one client work, you're absolutely in control. You're setting the project. You're doing all the communication. You're running the show. As a facilitator, the hard job is to give the structure of the show and then trust and show that you trust that other people will step up to the plate and know when to step back. So sometimes I see leaders kind of choke up a community because they're too engaged and they're not giving enough space for other people to interact, or they're trying to answer every single question that is asked instead of tagging someone that can give a better answer, right? So I'm not a specialist in email launches. If someone asks a question in my community about email launches, I'm not going to answer it. I'm going to pull someone in that is way better who specializes in it because they'll give the best answer, not a answer. So that'd be the first thing, is really figure out how you can step back and encourage people to step up. The next thing is to really think about your onboarding. So onboarding, if you have a SaaS product or are a copywriter at all, you know all about welcome sequences. Or if you have a newsletter and you have a welcome sequence, think of onboarding like your welcome sequence, bringing people into a space of here's what it is, here's what to expect, here's how to show up, and not just here's how to access the space, right? That's like lowest priority. They'll figure that out. Top priority is here's what the space is for. Here is why we are here. Like, really go to that why. This is why we're all showing up. This is who's in here. This is what we're hungry for. This is what we're excited about. And really importantly, this is how we treat each other. So going back to at the beginning of this conversation, talking about that invitation, where the first time we hear mentioned of, hey, come over to my house, or hey, come join my community, we start building an avatar of ourselves inside of that space. Your onboarding is your chance to help someone form that more fully, so that when they actually show up, they are more excited to offer advice, they're more excited to ask questions, they're more excited to give, they're more excited to celebrate, they're more excited to be vulnerable. So if you want to create a space that is safe and inclusive and vulnerable, you have to start that in onboarding. You can't just expect people to show up in the Slack or show up in Circle or whatever platform you chose, ready to like bear their heart out. If you're building a space that is about accountability and getting stuff done, same thing. You can't expect people to just show up in a group and say, I'm going to succeed in all of these things. And then it's kind of like, great. Okay.
Right.
So get them into the mindset of what it means to be in this space, going back to the purpose of your community at the beginning that we talked about at the very beginning of this conversation. Why does it exist? Who is it for? What is the transformation you want people to have? Right? How do you want this to feel? That all comes through with onboarding. I know quite a few people who have had a lot of issues with engagement and churn and just kind of ghost towns in their community. They fix their onboarding and radically turned everything around.
So does that look like, and I know that you'll probably say it depends and there's different ways to do it, which is, I love that answer as well, but it's true, right? But is it like, is it videos? Is it email? Like what could that look like from an onboarding perspective when you're delivering that message or those messages?
It depends.
Cool. I love it.
It depends on the type of space that you're creating. If you want to create a space where, going back to programming, if you plan on having monthly discussions and people are on Zoom calls and their videos and they're interacting, you probably want to think about an onboarding that has some videos, right? To ease them into that style of communication. If this is a very text-based community where they're typing like fire, and they're interacting that way, emojis are dropping all over the place, it's probably much more text-based onboarding. So again, think about how you want people to interact in your space and the type of programming and offerings that you're going to have, and build the onboarding to, again, build that expectation and help them picture themselves in that space.
I love it. And it does depend, right? Another perfect example of how it depends. You talked about the ascension model, right? Like, I, for one, am not a huge fan of the ascension model. I actually talked about this yesterday, the day when we're recording this. I shared, it's funny because I did a teaching lesson for my accelerators on our call yesterday, all about customer happiness and success with also retention. And talked about a lot of different ways. And we did talk about the Ascension model, where I said, look, if I want to go buy, like, I don't know, an Audi R8, if I want it and like the money was there, and like, I don't want to go buy a less expensive car to work my way up to it. Right. I just want, like, I'm going to go right there. And so that's just one small reason why I think it's flawed. But you mentioned Ascension model before. I'm really curious how you're going to answer this. Like, where does community building or can community building fit into if people have, you know, a quote unquote less expensive offer? Does it make sense to put it there? Or does it need to be saved, if you will, for the upper level stuff?
So whenever I say Ascension model, I say it with a slight bit of sarcasm. I'm with you on that. I struggle with that model a lot because it's built to keep people out rather than welcome them in, if you think about it. And I think when you focus on the Ascension model, I'm a very visual person, right? It's a pyramid. Mm-hmm. And so as a business owner, you're just thinking about the steps. And it's way too easy to forget about the people that are involved in all of those things. And that's when it becomes, I think, dangerous. That's when communities can really fail. That's when offers can fail, or people buy a thing and that's actually not what was delivered, because people are focused on filling the tier of their Ascension model versus really serving the people of whatever offer they're delivering. So where community can live, it's going back, I'm going to finish the model conversation. I would challenge everyone to start thinking about their business model more like a circle, where people enter, like you said, Audi, I don't know, cars, a fancy car. If people want to go straight into buying a fancy car, go straight into buying a fancy car. Awesome. And they might buy the fancy car and go, cool, now I actually really want a scooter. And that seems really fun. Right. And that's still profit for you, but it's giving the autonomy of choice back to the customer. And I think that's really important. Where community can live in that is anywhere you want it to be. It can be in a mastermind offering where there's only 10 seats and it costs $15,000 a year per person. And it's really high ticket and it's very high touch and it's very intimate. It can be closer at the bottom where it's a membership where it's like 10 bucks a month and they get templates and minimal support, mm-hmm. right? So it's wherever you want it to be that works best with how you work. If you like really high touch, intensive coaching and you show up and people have access to your Voxer or WhatsApp, that's probably a higher ticket offer that requires a lot more capacity on your end. Mm-hmm. And so that would be in a different section of your model versus this is a place where people get a new template from me every month. And maybe a live Q&A for 30 minutes a month. Right? Sure. That's a very different level of energy. Yeah. And so where it fits in your model is not necessarily a gap you need to fill on your triangle moving up, but what you're uniquely good at as a leader, and then building it around that, because you're less likely to burn out. I think what people don't really think about when they build a community is that it's really tiring.
Yeah.
It's really tiring. It's really tiring.
Well, I love that perspective and how you put that, because, you know, like, and you mentioned Voxer, right? Or WhatsApp, like in, for our accelerators, they can Voxer me. Like, we call it the bat signal, you know, like you need something, something's going down and you're having a hard time with something, you can get on the Voxer bat signal and that comes right to my team and I. And well, you know, like, but that's just part of, yeah, it's a higher ticket, quote unquote, offer, but the level of access is, someone's not going to find that level of access, I would argue, out there, period, for what they're getting in the program. But yet, I like that. It's almost like creating, this kind of comes full circle for me, no pun intended, of talking about you create communities with intention for the different offers that you have in your business. And one can look, One very well could look very, very different than another.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, so I run a 4-week program called Community Camp, where We walk through the five components of building a community, and it's me asking all of the "Have you thought about this?" questions, and then they have a workbook to actually fill out all of their answers. But the first question is really thinking about what is your capacity, right? Do you actually have space to build this thing? And there's actually someone who went through community camp and at the end of it was like, "You know what? I don't want to do this." And I said, "Great, that's actually a win. Better for you to do that deep thinking and deep work and decide you're not going to do it than invest the time, money, and energy to build a thing, launch it, attract people to it, onboard people to it, and then 5 months in realize I actually really hate facilitating a community and I don't even want to hire a moderator. This is just like not something I care about." So really think about the style of leader that you are, what you're really good at as a facilitator. If you're really good at sending text responses, then like a Slack is probably awesome for you. And it's just like that type of chat support. If you're really good at facilitating discussions, then maybe a mastermind or a group coaching program would be really good for you. And you can probably charge a little bit more because your face is there, which you're showing up physically, sort of digitally to a space.
Yeah.
So just really think about, is this good for my time and energy? Because the last thing you ever want to do in an online business space is to launch a thing and then completely under deliver, right? Trust is huge in our world. Huge. And it's real hard to get it back when it's lost. And like we said at the beginning, when we hear the word community, we feel a thing and really honor the feeling that people have when you're pitching and selling into a space.
Yeah. I love that. And it's so, I'm glad. I want to wrap up right there because that is such a, most people think that they have to create a community or have to create a group as part of it. And for so long, when a Facebook group, for example, was connected to a course, it was just like, you know, the leader, if you will, was not in the group. And I did this for years. Like I wasn't in the group for a long time for many of the groups. And I've learned a lot from that experience. I think people are expecting a lot more now. And I think, like, rightfully so. And it's just one super easy way to differentiate yourself too. And I love the idea of like a Slack channel, for example, for simple Q&A, like just a questions and answer on a lower level too. But anyway, I think this is like one reason why I wanted to have you on, and we talked about this before, is that no one's talking about this, right? No one's talking about community in a sense of doing it really with intention and strategically so that it fits your business. And there's definitely no one way to do it.
Yeah. So it fits your business and the people who join it. So no more like bonus pop-up communities that you don't really check, right? I see that everywhere. I think that does actually a disservice to your program at a certain sense, because there's an expectation that is not met. So like really, really considering that space and the people who do it right. I mean, if we want to just talk about profit, make a ton of profit. Because they do it right. And it has a huge potential. And we're all desperate for community. Even though there's a lot more restrictions being lifted, especially in the United States, like that's not going to go away at all post-pandemic. And so getting in on it now as a community builder for people listening and doing it really well, you're set up for massive success, in my opinion.
Yeah. I love it. Thank you so much for this discussion. I've been taking mad notes over here. Definitely want to have you back on because, again, this is a big discussion, big topic that I think we can talk about a lot of different angles. Where can people, you mentioned Community Camp, where can people learn more about that, learn more about you and your work and connect with you?
For sure. So by the time this podcast is launched, hopefully my new website will be up, fingers crossed, high hopes there. So you can find me at www.strangebirds.land. And if you want to learn more about Community Camp, you can go to strangebirds.land/community-camp. And I've also got a little interactive PDF gift for all of you to help you figure out where to start when you're building an online community. It's just a short worksheet to kickstart your thinking about the profitable and purposeful paid online community. And so it covers a lot of things actually that Rick and I just kind of riffed off of here. And you can find that at strangebirds.land/AOOB. So Art of Online Business, AOOB.
Awesome. I love the dot land. I've never seen that before. So
there
creative.
Are so many options for whatever. And I was just scrolling through, I found land and I was like, oh, this is perfect.
Yeah, that's awesome. Anna, thank you so much for coming on and talking about this and sharing your expertise here. This has been so, so good. And everyone, I'll link all the links up that Anna just said in the show notes for the episode here today. Anna, thanks again for coming on. Super appreciate you.
It was an absolute blast.
Hey, as I mentioned at the top of the show here, I put together a quiz for you. Okay. And this quiz is going to help you uncover what those invisible roadblocks are that are tripping you up and keeping you from gaining the traction and momentum that you need to grow your online course or online coaching business. And so what this is going to help you do in like literally like 47 seconds, it's going to A, help you discover what those roadblocks are that are preventing you from gaining traction to scale to six or seven figures. And then also, after we have identified what those invisible roadblocks are, I'm going to give you an action plan to help you move past those roadblocks. Okay. So just go to rickmulready.com/quiz and you can take the quiz right there. Literally, it takes you like 47 seconds and then you'll get the results at the end. It's a lot of fun. I've had a ton of people go through it and they're like, man, you nailed it. And they're already working on the action plan that is specific to them that I offer at the end of the quiz. All right, my friend, as always, super appreciate you for listening to the show here. Make sure that you subscribe to the podcast on whatever platform that you're listening on. And until next time, be well, my friend, and talk soon.